What he's interested in is a lot more in what he's teaching you with this. And what I said last night, I hope you got a hold of, faith giving is teaching us about faith living.
Amen.
And folks, the Bible still is true. The just shall live by what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
Hey folks, God is trying to teach us how to trust Him. And I think some of you probably already figured it out, but if you haven't, there's some greater issues in your life coming that you're going to have faith for than a few dollars on a fake promise card. And so God is trying to show us how to live by faith. Now, you come to Romans chapter 12, and I want to give you a verse here. Everybody in this room, Romans chapter 12, everybody in this room probably could quote to me verses 1 and 2 about how that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice and all that, and be not conformed to this world, and verse 2 and all that. But look at verse 3. I want you to catch a phrase in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, are we Bible believers or not today? Amen. So there's two key words in there. Every man. Amen. I mean, we've heard these great stories this week about George Mueller and about Brother Patton and all those stories. But God did not give to them any more than He gave to you the moment you got saved. He said He has dealt to every man. And notice what He said, brother. The. He didn't say a. He said the measure of faith. Now, last couple of days, I've been working on this because I was going to do this last night, but since I didn't have time to do it last night, I'm going to do this now. I want you to think about this. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? And so then the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, in whom also you believe, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that moment that you heard the Word of God, understood the Word of God, and you realized you was lost and you needed Jesus Christ, and you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
What happened that day is God issued to you the measure of faith. He didn't say, hey, now listen, are you safe? Are you sure? Well, here, take one of these. Amen. Now do me a favor, you two guys. Give one of these to everybody in this room, you would? That I want you to think, every one of these has got the same measure within a grain or two, amen? Now you say these are, what are those? They're mustard seeds. We'll talk about that in a minute. They're mustard seeds. Now, if you're saved, then the Bible says in that moment, now, I don't even think that this is anything compared to what God gave us, amen? But I want you to think about for just a little while that when you got saved, God issued, God dealt to you. I think that's what the Bible means when He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. I didn't have the faith to trust Jesus Christ when I was lost. And so that moment that I realized I was lost and I understood what God done for me through Jesus Christ. And on that Sunday night of May the 20th, 1972, along about 8:30 at the West Milford Baptist Church, I stepped out of that pew and headed towards the altar because I knew I needed to get saved. And I believed with all my heart. And in that moment, God said, here's the faith you need. Here's the faith you need, not just to get saved, but to live. Boy, got quiet. Y'all look at me kind of funny tonight. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We read these verses, but go to Galatians chapter 2. Notice what the Bible says. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, watch what he says because it gets to be fun now. Galatians chapter number 2. We quote this verse, but think about it a minute. He says in Galatians chapter 2, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Hey folks, He said, even now that I'm saved, He gave me that faith to come and be saved. He gave me that faith to trust Him to be my Savior. Now even in this life that I now live in the flesh, He gave me the faith I need to do whatever God wants me to do. He said, well, preacher, there's a great obstacle in my life. There's no obstacle too great that God has not already furnished you with everything you need to overcome that obstacle. He said, you live by the faith, that measure of faith that He gave you. Look at another verse, Colossians. Go to the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, Philippians, then Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Notice what he says. Now this is where it gets to be fun. So y'all pray for me because I'm liable to get stuck right here. Colossians chapter 2, he said in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. He said, we were raised through the faith of the operation. See, God reached down in my life and He issued this measure of faith. He put it in my life when I got saved. And He said, now, everything that happens in my life is the operation of this faith in my life. You say, why does the world not have the gospel like it did in the testimony of the church in 1 Thessalonians, that their faith was sounded out throughout the whole world? Why is it not that way now? I'll tell you why I believe with all my heart. We're just not walking by faith like we should. And it's not that God needs to give us more. It's the fact we need to let God operate that faith in our life. And what does faith promise do? It teaches us how to let God operate that faith in our life. If you can trust God for $20, why can't you trust God for $25 this year? If you can trust God for $50, why can't you trust God for $50 or $60 more? You say, why? That's the operation of faith. Because then God comes by and says, now I want you to go to the mission field. Well, how do you go to the mission field? You let God operate that faith in your life. And God has already given it to you. He said, you just got to let me operate it in your life. You got to walk by faith. You got to let this faith I've given you do something in your life. I remember going back. Well, let me read a couple more verses. I'll give you that in a minute. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Notice what he says. He said, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, what? Like precious faith, as though with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. I get a little frustrated, brother, Pastor Matt. You know, we talk about, and I love what you all did about Mueller, and we talk about Mueller, and we talk about Patton, we talk about all these, William Carey, and we talk about all these missionaries. But I'm telling you what, folks, it's all right to talk about that, but we have obtained like precious faith. Amen. And what God did for Patton, what God did for Mueller, what God did for William Carey, what God did for Adnan Judson, what God did for Lester Roloff, what God has did for anybody you want to talk about in your life, He will do for us. We have like precious faith. We got the same thing they got. But what are we doing with it? See, there's the key. What are we doing with it? Well, one more verse. Let's go to the book of Jude. What's he saying in the book of Jude? And he said, in Jude, in verse number 3, he said, beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. What you and I have got is not uncommon, amen? Right. Now, the world thinks it's uncommon, but to God we have the common salvation. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. God said, I gave it to you, amen? Now, what are you doing with it? I'm convinced, and I get in trouble when I say this, I see people go to the altar all the time and say, Lord, give me more faith. You know what I think God's looking down at us saying? Why should I give you any more? You're not using what I gave you. When you exhaust this, and think about this. When I think about that, I'm thinking about, you know, when he said that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You know, and but don't reach in there because it'll be all over this place. He said, you just go in there and take one of those. And if you had the faith of just one of those grains of a mustard seed, he said, I gave it to you, and I'll get it out of there and use it. You could say to that mountain, be thou removed. Why are Christians languishing at the foot of the mountains of obstacles in their life today when they possess in their life everything they need to not just climb the mountain, but cast that mountain into the sea, clear out of their path? We're just not doing it. And people say, well, preacher, could I ever, ever, ever use up all that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, that was the introduction.
Good.
Now, let's get to the meat of this message. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice what Paul said. Now, he said, Romans chapter 12, this measure of faith, and that's what he said, isn't it? So, what did he say? In Romans chapter 12, in verse number, or chapter 10, I'm sorry, in verse number 12, he said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I always read that verse when I go into this because here's the problem, folks. The comparison of my faith is not Brother Claire. Well, if I'm doing more than he is, I must be spiritual. No. It's not comparing ourselves among ourselves. I used to get so frustrated when I pastored, and I'd go to fellowship meetings with all the brethren, and they'd say, well, how many are you running? I got to where I'd say 300. They said, you're running 300? I said, yeah, I'm running after 300. I'm only catching about 50 of them on Sunday morning. But I'm running after them, amen. I get so tired because they want to know what you're doing so they can compare what they're doing. And if they're doing something more than you, then they want to make you feel bad. Hey, folks, my comparison's not anybody else. My comparison is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what am I doing with the faith the Lord Jesus Christ gave me? It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It just matters what I am doing with what God has given me. Amen. And if I'm not doing with what God's given me, what He wants me to do, then I have failed the Lord. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. Amen. So I don't like what He does. Too bad. I don't care. I'm not going to stand before you. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my life. Now watch this. So then he goes on to this next verse. He said, but we will not boast. Now watch this. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Do you realize what he just said right there? He said, we've not went beyond that measure that God distributed to us. I mean, here's Paul that gets saved on the road to Damascus. He goes down to Jerusalem for a little bit. He was too exciting, too hot for them guys in Jerusalem. He ends up at Tarsus, of course, for a while. You find him again in Acts chapter 11 when Barnabas goes down to Tarsus and brings him up to Antioch. And he spends some time there in Antioch. And they confirm him the disciples. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. And then you get to Acts chapter 13. And there's Paul at the church of Antioch being sent out as the missionary. He goes out, makes the first missionary journey. He comes back, goes out on the second missionary journey, has the Macedonian vision, hears the Macedonian call, goes over into Macedonia, preaches the gospel of Philippi, went through that region. That's when the church at Corinth was started. That's when the church of that old region was started. Now he's been back, went to the third missionary journey, come back, and he's writing to them, and he said, I have not even went beyond that measure. So what have you done? Well, no, nothing. If Paul accomplished all that, and he said, I've not went beyond my measure yet. Missionary friend of mine, he's not on a mission field anymore. He got ready to go to Kenya, Africa. God told him to go there, and he started a deputation in August. And I'm preaching a missions conference in September, and he came to the altar, and he said, Brother Morrison, I believe God wants me on the mission field next July. I said, really? I said, praise the Lord. He said, what do you think? I said, I think you ought to call your pastor. He calls his pastor. He said, pastor, I believe last night in the meeting, God told me that we're to leave to go to Kenya, Africa next July. He said, in fact, July the 26th, his pastor said, well, if God told you to do it, then do it. He said, preacher, I'm so convinced that I'm going to buy plane tickets to leave next July 26th. And he went out the very next week and bought 4 one-way tickets to Kenya, Africa for July 26th of the next year. You're talking the last week of September of the year before. He had less than 20% of his support. Had only been in full-time deputation for 6 weeks. People laughed at him. He called a preacher and he knew and wanted to see about getting a meeting. The preacher said, he said, I don't have any openings till August. He said, well, preacher, I can't come. I'm going to be going. He said, you're going to be gone? You just started deputation in August? You're going to be gone? He said, yeah. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I won't schedule a missionary for August. And when you don't get to the mission field, call me. You can have that meeting. But on July the 26th of the next year, that missionary and his wife and two kids got on an airplane at 104% of their support and went to the mission field. You got to know me, preacher. I got in me. I called that preacher that said, come. I said, Brother Hall is on the plane. Can I have the meeting? I didn't want the meeting. I just wanted to yell in his ear, amen.
Yeah.
We wonder why missionaries don't get to the field when pastors don't believe God could raise the support in 11 months. Paul said, I haven't even exhausted that measure. Have you exhausted yours? Boy, not quite. Let's read some more here. I'll get where I want to be. He said, but I will not boast of things without our measure. Verse 13, according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we have come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Write this little word down, service. Service. When's the last time your faith affected your service for Jesus Christ? We were in Latvia one day preaching, and when I was still working with the Rock of Ages prison ministry, the guy said, let's go up to Estonia and see if we can get into prisons of Estonia. So we left Riga, Latvia, we drove to Tallinn, Estonia. Drove around till we found the minister of justice office. Went in the minister of justice office, told him that we were here, wanted to go to the prison and preach. He said, why? And so I handed a man a tract, started talking to him and witnessing to him. He said, okay, that's fine. He said, go to this prison at this time this evening and you can get it. And I'll call him and tell him you're coming. I mean, man, we drove in the country and I'm so excited, man. I'm thinking, hey, they didn't even know we were coming. They're going to let us preach in this prison tonight. And so we got so excited, went and found us a place to stay and drove over to the prison. And I'm walking up to the prison. I looked at the guys with us. I said, you ain't got a problem. He said, what's that? I said, do you speak Estonian? He said, no. I said, I know I don't. I have trouble with English. He said, what are we going to do? We're standing there at the door of the prison arguing. And this young man walks up. He said, excuse me. He said, I hear you talking. He said, you need some help. Spoke perfect English. I said, yeah, why? He said, well, I showed up here to interpret for a lawyer that went to go in there. But he said, I just found out he's not coming. You need an interpreter? Sure we do, amen. That guy walked in, he interpreted for us, had a man come and get saved, gave his life to Jesus Christ. Hey folks, you say that doesn't happen. Yes, it does happen when your faith affects your service for Jesus Christ. When's the last time your faith affected your service? God said, I want you to do this. I went, really? Let me give you a personal illustration, folks. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't watch out in a church, the devil will come in and rob you of your ability to trust God. Not he can't take that faith from you, but he can get you so discouraged you'll think God doesn't do that anymore. When I went to Gypsy, West Virginia, there's 18 people wanting to start a church. And so we met with them, and the Lord worked it out, and we started the Bible Baptist Fellowship Church in Gypsy, West Virginia. Met in a little building that you could put the whole building where your chairs are. I mean, old building, belonged to the black congregation in that area, and they didn't have enough people anymore to meet in there and pay the expenses on it. Wallpaper falling off the walls. The electric in the basement didn't work. 18 people. Within 6 months, we're running 50. Pushing towards 60. We got to have a place to go. There was one service that had over 180 people in a push to get people to come in that little building. Can you imagine having 180 people in this building? 180 people in this building? I had deacons downstairs. Well, they weren't deacons then. Men downstairs watching the rafters buckle. I said, man, I don't need you as leadership. Anybody dumb enough to stand there and watch it fall in me? And so we began to pray that God would give us property. I drove by this piece of property one day, and I said to one of the men, I said, do you know who owns that piece of property? He said, yeah. He said, believe it or not, my cousin owns that piece of property. I said, really? I said, call him, see if he'll sell it. We called, and the guy said, yeah. He said, there's 13 and a half acres of property there. We'll sell it to you, $10,000 an acre. Now, you're talking 1983, 84, $135,000. I said, you tell him that we're going to buy it, but we're not paying that for it. He said, whatever. So we got all the men, went up there underneath a grove of pine trees and got on our face, and I simply said, God, I believe this is where you want your church. Now you're going to have to work it out. 2 weeks later, the guy calls me. He said, you got $39,000? I said, yes, sir. I can get it. He said, you get $39,000, you can have that piece of property. We found out, brother, that he had not been paying his taxes to the IRS on his coal business. And they told him, you don't give us $39,000 in 14 days, we're going to start putting a lien against your business and selling equipment. We wrote the check to the IRS. And there's a church building that sits on that piece of property today. Now, you fast forward to 15 years later, same group of people just about. Fussed and fought and nearly split the church over buying a $6,500 van. What happened to them? Did God retract their faith? No. Their faith quit affecting what they did. It could happen to you. We want a church building. Yeah, God can do that. God can do that. We believe He can do that. Now watch what happens, because it all ties together. I'm just reading the scripture to you. Now, I'm trying to quit, amen, but I haven't looked at you face to face for 2 days, so hang on. He says in verse number 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's hopes, having hope when your faith is increased. Now, here's what I believe with all my heart. He said, when your faith is increased, it's not that God needed to give them anymore, they just needed to use it. Amen. That we shall be enlarged by you according to the rule abundantly. Notice what he said, that we shall be enlarged by you. Encouraged, challenged, enlarged. You know what, folks, what excites me? I was telling Charity, right? I was telling her last night, she reminds me of my daughter so much. She's just kind of quiet and reserved until you get her to get to know her, and then you probably can't get her to be quiet, right? Amen. And she started giving the faith promise when she's 8 or 9 years old, and all those years growing up, you know, giving the faith promise, and she got ready to go to Bible college, and she said, Dad, how are we going to do this? I said, we'd start a deputation. We're just trying to raise support. I said, same way we're doing everything else. We're just going to trust God. And when she left the next spring or next fall to go to Bible college, had all the money that she needed in the bank to pay for the first semester and half the second semester, and never even worked a job. And then she gets back from the first year of college, and God forbid she went to college without a car. And she's getting back from school, and this preacher friend of mine calls me, and he said, Brother Morrison, can you come preach our anniversary Sunday in July? I said, looked at the calendar, I said, sure. He said, good. And as he's hanging up the phone, he says to his wife, they're coming. We can do it. And he said, and he called me back. He said, oh, by the way, don't come without your fam. I said, okay. So July rolls around, we take the family to go over there. I get done preaching, he walks over and he says, now, Brother Morrison, I just want you to know, we really didn't want you to preach. Made me feel real good. He said, Melissa, come here. He called my daughter up front. He said, you don't know, but he said, we've contacted every preacher that your dad knows. And he said, we wanted to raise the money to buy you a vehicle to go back to school. And handed her a check to buy a car with. having this hope that when your faith, when you start using that faith and you start demonstrating that faith and your the evidence of that faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged, we be challenged. Hello? By you. Your faith ought to affect your service. It ought to affect the saints of God around you. When's the last time what you did challenged him to do more for God? When's the last time what you did, brother, challenged him to do more for God? Every year I get older, and every year I say, God, I just can't do these youth camp things anymore. 4 weeks of youth camp, preaching a bunch of kids, kill myself. Then I get letters from Melody Seatman. Brother Morrison, do you realize that you were preaching the night that God called me to mission? And somehow your faith has affected somebody else. When's the last time that happened to you? Got some young Christians back here. You know what the key to this right now is? That the devil's going to go after you, Andrew. The devil's going to try to discourage you. The devil's going to try to do everything he can to tell you it don't work. You just watch these men. You just watch these fellas. Amen. You watch these guys that have been walking with God, and you keep your eyes on them. And then you got to do something by faith that's going to challenge him, that if God can do it for you, he can do it for me. That's what this faith's all about. But look at this last thought, and I'll try to be done. He says then in verse number 16, he said to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Your faith ought to affect your service. It ought to affect the saints of God around you. But it ought to ultimately affect the destiny of lost souls. I wonder tonight how many people are waiting for the gospel. Missionary friend of mine's in Kenya, Africa, Brother Robert Mickey, has done some of the most phenomenal things you've ever seen done in Kenya, Africa. The Rift Valley Baptist Bible College is training Kenyan nationals that are now planting churches in the Sudan, in Bahrain, and all over the African region out of that church. And he somehow got in contact with some people that wanted somebody to come to the Congo. So Brother Mickey and his son and a couple of the Kenyan men get on this boat to go to the Congo. To get to that part of the Congo, you have to cross Lake Tanzania, which is the largest lake in Africa. It's a two-day boat ride across that lake. He said, we go down there to the lake and we get on that boat, which would comfortably seat about 40 or 50 people, and there was over 300 people on that boat to go across that lake. No bathroom, no water to drink, no food to eat. 2 days, they ride this boat, standing up, across this lake. They get to the other side. He said, man, you know, we've been up for 2 days. We're tired. These men meet them at the boat. Said, you the missionary? Yes. He said, come on. It was a five-hour walk to where they were going to go. They get to the village, 5 hours. They walk in this house, sit down. He said, thank God, we get something to drink, something to eat. He said, get a little rest, and all of a sudden this room fills with these men. And he said, after the room's filled with these men, all of a sudden they start singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And they're singing in Congolese and singing in French. And he said, man, all of a sudden God's Spirit fills that room. And this man walks up and he said, preacher, I want to tell you something. Now, this was 2 years ago in June, 2013. He said, in 1973, a missionary came here and told us about Jesus Christ. And a bunch of us got saved. He said, and that missionary had to go home. And he said, for 40 years, we've been sitting here praying for God to send us somebody that could tell us the rest of this story and what we do. Brother Mickey said, all of a sudden, I didn't care about eating. I didn't care about drinking. He said, I didn't care about sleeping. Let's get down to the business. Long story short, they've been back there several times. There's now three church planted in that area. There's Congolese men coming over to Kenya being trained, going back into the Congo and planting churches. They were just waiting. They were just waiting. I wonder tonight, who's waiting for you to take your measure of faith and step out and serve God and reach that person. Reach those people. It happened to me. I was in the second trip I made to the Philippines. We were on this island and this fellow said, preacher, I want to take you back to this village to preach. I said, okay. He said, as far as I know, never been a white man back there. Just Filipinos. Got on the back of that little motorcycle. I don't know how many miles, 40, 50 miles around that, through that jungle road, up that hill. We get back in that village. And we walked in there, and this man came over to us. He was the village elder, we found out. 88 years old. We told him who we were, why we were there. He reached in his pocket, preacher, and he pulled out this crumpled piece of paper. He said, did you come here to tell us that what's in this piece of paper is true? I looked at it, and it was a copy of God's Simple Plan of Salvation tract. He said, 10 years ago, I went down off this mountain to do something. He said, a man walked by and handed this to me and said, you need to read this. He said, we've been sitting up here reading this thing for 10 years, wondering, is this really true? I said, yes, sir. We come to tell you what's in that thing is true. He said, sit down. We sit down on that little rock wall, and in about 45 minutes, they gathered every man, woman, and child in that village, in that little village square. He got up with that little piece of paper. He said, finally, somebody has come to tell us that this is true. And he looked at me, and he said, sir, we have nothing else to do the rest of this day. He said, just do it. And I started in Genesis and went all the way through, amen. Got down to the end, gave invitation, people started coming. You'd try to tell them about how to get saved, they'd quote the verses back to you. They'd memorize the verses on that track. There's a church up on that mountain now. But for 10 years. And what the old man said to us before we left, he said, I got one question to ask you. And I said, what is it, sir? He said, my dad lived in this village to be 88 years old. And my grandfather lived in this village to be over 90 years old. And you're the first fellow ever come to tell us about this. He said, where have you been all of our life? God said, I gave it to you. Dumped in your life the measure of faith that can reach a world. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what are you doing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these days together. They have been a battle. But as the song they sang, it's been a long, long journey. But we've been blessed.